Warning, the following fantasy football rankings are subjective and also based on standard scoring procedures. Check your fantasy league scoring to adjust your rankings appropriately for how your league is scored. With that, enjoy the show.
All right, welcome into episode 3 of the Waiver Wire. This week, we get down to the nitty-gritty. We are finally into some player rankings, and of course, we're going to start, Derek, with the quarterback position, a.k.a. most important position on the field.
Before we start, why don't we go ahead and say, I'm Derek Kramer.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I'm Nate Geary. This is the Waiver Wire.
Welcome to the Waiver Wire. And it's time, Nate. We have talked about leagues.
We've been teasing it.
Fun things, you know, how to start a draft order, how to create your fantasy league. You know, we've been trying to help out some of these people, and now it's time to get them the questions that they really ask a lot, and that is this. Who do I put above who? Who do I draft? Where am I going? What direction am I going with this?
Right.
And obviously, you heard the disclaimer at the start of the show. Our rankings are based on standard scoring procedures, and today's episode is quarterbacks, and they are as follows. 4 points for every touchdown thrown, -2 points for every interception thrown, 1 point for every 25 yards passing. Those are the standard scoring procedures. Oh, yeah, also -2 points for any fumble lost and recovered by the defense.
And for your rushing quarterbacks, it is 1 point for every 10 yards, and it is still 4 points for every
touchdown. It is six points for a rushing touchdown.
Right.
So, again,
that makes things interesting. Now, I know we haven't really gotten into the names and the nitty-gritty of this yet, but that makes things interesting. If you are a person that is looking for the most points at the quarterback position, you're going to have to take them pretty high. And that's another thing we're going to get to today is where to take that quarterback and in which round and how long you wait. But ultimately, do you take that dual threat guy who can get you the possibility of a few hundred yards rushing and a few rushing touchdowns this season as well?
And let me refresh that for you guys one more time. It is as follows. 4 points for every passing touchdown, 6 points for every rushing touchdown, 1 point for every 25 yards passing, 1 point for every 10 yards rushing, -2 points for any interception thrown, and -2 points for any fumble lost. That is the standard scoring procedure. And without further ado, Nate, let's get to those rankings.
Sounds good to me, Derek. And today, I think we should really start off by telling our listeners, you know, who we're targeting this year in the draft, and not only who we're targeting, but maybe who we're staying away from. And I think that might be the most important thing today, is really getting into the quarterbacks that we think you should steer clear from, and maybe a guy that you can get in a value round later that's looking at an upside season. One guy that I really want to talk about today, Derek, and I was excited about talking about and really has been looking at as being a guy that has always been a sort of consistent performer, but maybe not the best fantasy football quarterback, and that's a guy named Eli Manning. And that's someone I'm really looking at in a lot of the standard scoring leagues this year. He gets Victor Cruz back, and if he can be anything like he was, they're going to be a terror on offense because they obviously have Odell Beckham Jr. on the other side of him, and they've got a lot of interesting weapons on that offense, and they're really a short passing game style offense where he's going to get a lot of those short dink and dunk passes that these athletic receivers are going to be able to take for more yards after the catch. So Eli Manning, although he doesn't rank as my top quarterback available because that's Cam Newton, and I think that'll probably be pretty universal across all rankings as Cam Newton being your top guy. Obviously that dual threat going to give you in the mid 400 to 500, 600s in rushing with anywhere from 5 to 10 rushing touchdowns. You really can't duplicate that across the board. Those are just added value. Added point values to a guy who is going to do pretty well through the air as well. So Cam Newton really tops this list for me, but Eli Manning is definitely a guy to start paying attention to in a lot of your standard scoring leagues.
Now, the other issue is, you know, Eli Manning is a guy who's, throughout his career, he's never gotten a lot of love. And that's very obvious. It's painstakingly obvious sometimes. Furthermore, with the point on Manning is, Sterling Shepard is a very impressive rookie wide receiver.
You forget about it. I forgot about
Oklahoma.
Him.
Right? And there's a couple of other factors that strengthen Manning's case, and they are as follows. The Giants don't have a great defense.
Correct. So they're going to be playing from behind.
And they don't have a great running game. which means that they have to rely on Manning to really keep them going.
What I will say, Derek, is they spent $200 million in the offseason. They drafted Eli Apple. They signed Janoris Jenkins. And they signed somebody. Olivier Vernon. Right. So
Vernon Olivier,
they've put some talent on that defense. But I agree with you that typically they've been struggling on defensive side of the ball, and they will be using the pass to supplement and get themselves some points and come and be after having to be able to come back against teams that are going to go up on them.
Add in that they're in a weak division defensively, that there is a lot of chance here for Eli Manning to crack QB1 status on a no-doubter basis this year. Downside on Manning? Tends to have those days where he throws a lot of picks.
Yep.
So you do have to be careful with that. One of the guys that's on my radar as someone who doesn't get enough love, that really, quite frankly, should get some more love. I like a guy here, and this is going to come as a bit of a surprise. Tony Romo.
Hmm.
The guy stays healthy. Dallas is a capable team. And you've got Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, that offensive line. You've got Ezekiel Elliott as a nice little added bonus now in
the
backfield.
Who can definitely come out of the backfield.
And hit you with some swing passes and some screen game. There's a lot to like about Dallas's offense if number 9 is healthy. And I think that if he is healthy, he gets back to where he's been the last couple of years.
I mean, he's got weapons. And he still has Jason Witten. You know, he's still got – he obviously has Dez Bryant. And it's always been, and you alluded to it, and it's always been the issue with Romo is Ben being able to stay healthy. And what I don't want to do is waste a, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round pick on a guy who you are basically, you're taking a pretty significant chance on.
The good news is that you're not going to have to use that fourth, fifth, sixth right. round pick on Romo.
Right, because Romo is going to be that guy who's probably in
he's
the
sneaking
tens.
In, he's probably falling in the he's double
probably,
digits this
right,
year.
Right, he'll probably fall in the teens this year. But it's always been, to me, the issue with Romo is him staying healthy. And ultimately, for that reason, I'd probably stay away from him. But he's going to put up numbers. He's always put up numbers, whether or not he's been healthy or not, even when he's coming in and only playing a few games. He's one of the top quarterbacks every year.
And for some of the same reasons we've been praising the stock of Eli Manning is the same reason we can turn to Romo, and that is he's got very strong weapons. He's got a weaker defense in Dallas than I think Manning does in New York. But that NFC East is not necessarily what I'd call defensively scary. The Eagles aren't much of a threat on defense, and the Redskins, it's hit and miss with them on defense. So you've got an NFC East that there's a lot of points to be scored in those divisional matchups. And I think that Romo can stay healthy this year because, quite frankly, what happened was he took a bad hit right in the back in the first game,
right.
And then he rushed back on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because Jerry Jones doesn't have patience.
Correct.
So Romo's not being rushed back this year. He's going to come back here on what was a brutal hit in the first game. No, it was the second game. But he's going to be fine. I think it's just it was a bad hit, a fluky hit that could take any quarterback out at any time. Romo generally has been healthy for more years than not. And under the radar, a steady guy in fantasy football.
Now, today we won't really be going by a number ranking of 1 to 15 or 1 to 20. We're really going to kind of give you an idea of some guys we're paying attention to and some guys we're not. What you can do is pay attention to WGR550.com, where Derek and I will have a collaboration article coming in the coming days here that will give you a positional and a 1 through 20 ranking of the top fantasy quarterbacks available in your drafts. That'll be coming your way again at WGR550.com, and that'll be under the waiver wire, and you can check it out there. So today we're really going to try to get into some boom or bust potential guys here.
Yes. Some highlights of our rankings.
And that's going to bring me to my first bust guy this year. And I think it's an interesting name, and I think you might kind of, you know, it might.
Here at WGR, we like talking about busts.
We do. We're a Busty McBusterson station, sponsored always. But I am going to do whatever I can to stay away from Drew Brees this year.
Really? Okay, I'm intrigued.
You're intrigued. He's although he's under the last year of his contract, so you would think that he's in a contract year. He's going to try to do his best to make himself some money this offseason.
Yes.
But what I will say about Drew Brees is he is no longer as Marcus Colston. He no longer has Jimmy Graham. He no longer has Kenny Stills. He no longer has Lance Moore. Who does he have?
Here's my counterargument to you. Last year, he didn't have Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Last year, he had the shadow of Marcus Colston.
Mm-hmm.
He still finished in the top 10 in quarterback scoring.
He did well.
I think he even finished in the top five.
I will say, I've been paying a little bit of attention to some New Orleans camp. In New Orleans camp yesterday, 2 days ago, I'm sorry, on Thursday. Is that 2 days? 2 days ago.
Yes.
On Thursday.
I mean, these podcasts aren't going to be time appropriate, but.
Threw six interceptions in practice. Six to the defense. To the New Orleans Saints defense, who was the worst defense of all time last year.
Okay, that was more Rob Ryan than anything. But I digress. I will counter with this point. He is still Drew Brees. Until proven otherwise, a very solid fourth, fifth, sixth round selection.
I would say, but my main reason behind Drew Brees.
I wouldn't call this bust more than buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Okay, I'm more comfortable with that too.
Because he is, until proven otherwise, still Drew Brees. And as Jeremy White of WGR on the Howard Simon Show would often like to say, preseason football does not matter. We personally have seen here in Buffalo, EJ Manuel have a game against Pittsburgh last year where he threw three touchdowns mm-hmm. and was supposedly inserted back into the quarterback competition, where Taylor and Manuel both went off against the Steelers. Castle had some sort of so-so day. He just didn't miss a pass. He was like 9 for 9 for like 60 some odd yards. But even Castle looked good in that game. So
yeah, and
preseason football to me, and camp stuff like this, to me, I'm not putting too much stuff
too much into
this.
It. Yeah, no, and you shouldn't. But it is one of those things where Drew Brees is another year older, and obviously Drew Brees has never been a world beater as far as arm strength. He hasn't made his money. He hasn't made his mark in the NFL based on having the strongest arm in the league. In fact, he's got one of the weaker arms in the league. But what he does really well is he puts it in the best positions, and he throws with some of the best anticipation and timing in the league. But he does have, and I don't want to say that he doesn't have any receivers, because he does have a few really good. Brandon Cooks is really good.
They signed Kobe Fleener.
They did,
and
Kobe Fleener is going to be an interesting guy for him, and we'll get into that more when we talk about tight ends. And that was definitely a guy that I wanted to bring up, because he didn't really do a lot in Indianapolis the past few years, Kobe Fleener, but he's definitely going to be into an offense now that utilizes the tight end almost better than anyone in the league. And you could tell last year that exactly when Ben Watson had a career year in place. So Jimmy
exactly.
Graham. But just a little bit beware there, because I think a year older, I don't know how much Drew Brees has left in the tank. And this is a young team that doesn't have a number one receiver. Michael Thomas is there from Ohio State. He'll probably contribute a bit, and Willie Snead as well. But not a lot of like top five. They don't have that number one receiver to me. So that team, we will see. But that's my buyer beware. Derek, who you got?
My buyer beware. He's also a guy that's been in many people's either top five or top tens. Carson Palmer.
Wow.
Palmer.
I was thinking the same thing, Derek.
Palmer is a guy that, unlike Brees, does not have the consistency on a year-to-year basis, no matter what kind of weaponry he has. And this is for his entire career. It's not like last year was an anomaly where he spiked like that. He has spiked before in Cincinnati. He played well. He even managed to play well in Oakland for that little bit. So Palmer's a guy who's inconsistent a lot. Do not invest a higher pick on Palmer, because, like I said, unlike Brees, who has the proven track record year in and year out, Palmer, to me, does not have that track record and is a guy that will kind of fumble for you on almost an every other year basis. So I think that the other thing is that they're going to probably try to rely more on a running game that looks a lot stronger in Arizona. And I also think that it's more or less the fact that defense in Arizona, much stronger. So you're not going to see a lot of games where, unlike
they're
Brees,
behind. Yep.
They're behind, and Brees has to chuck all these touchdowns and yards and everything like that. Palmer is on a very steady team, a very talented team, that they can easily win those games 20-13. You know?
I really, really agree with you. But having said that, they play one of the more difficult schedules in the league, so they're going to be playing a tough schedule.
And that is a tough schedule, but at the same time, they are of the cream of the crop.
They are. They're, as Rex Ryan famously said at training camp, is the cream will rise to the top, and they're always one of those teams that seem to rise to the top, especially the past few years with Bruce Arians as their head coach. But I think it is worth saying with this team that it seems as though when Carson Palmer is healthy, he is a top five quarterback in the league. When he last year really had a 17-game stretch where he was one of, if not the top quarterback in the league last year, top three. And then he gets that finger injury in the NFC Championship game, and he's really the reason they don't advance. Yes. And they don't move on and go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, to me, if he can stay healthy this season, he does obviously have the weapons around him. Larry Fitzgerald's great. Michael Floyd, who is going to be another guy, silently going to be, and I think, and I really think, step into a really bigger role this year than he even was last year, which is a scary thing. If you're a fantasy owner, Michael Floyd could really be one of those guys. But yeah, Carson Palmer really makes his money on the deep ball, and that's really where you're going to see the most.
And John Brown's that deep ball specialist.
Yes, that's true.
My final issue, though, with Palmer is I feel the Cardinals will rely a little more on the Johnson & Johnson running game there. That's David and Chris Johnson. Based on, I have them in that order because of based on the predicted amount of carries each of them will get, I feel like David Johnson's going to be the main guy. But we'll talk about running backs later.
We will.
But my issue is I feel like the Cardinals are going to be more reliant on the running game and less reliant on Palmer to really carry them through.
Yeah, I mean, it could definitely be the situation at hand here, but I mean, that we're going to have to take a wait-and-see approach on Palmer, but I think you're right. I think he's definitely another buyer beware kind of guy.
Yes.
Don't base your decision to take Palmer on his statistics last year. It's going to be, you really kind of have to, you're going to have to try to predict this one.
Yes.
He's a guy you're going to have to really, and that's how I felt about Drew Brees as well. It's going to have to be, you can't really go on what he's done historically because obviously he's a great quarterback, but moving forward, it's whether or not they regress a little bit in this upcoming season.
Before we go on to things that we like, can I just offer up my head scratcher of the day?
Yeah.
My head scratcher of the day. Look, I understand Tom Brady is suspended for 4 games. Mm-hmm. Why is he not ranked in the top 10 in some rankings? Like, you look around.
He'll still end up being in the top 5 overall statistical category for fantasy quarterbacks missing 4 games.
Yes. So that's
he'll still pass for 30 touchdowns.
That's my question here is, why do people not see this and let him fall in later rounds to some lucky fantasy owner? If you see Tom Brady falling past round 5, snag him immediately.
Take him, especially if you're in a keeper league.
Yes. It's one of those things where I don't care if he's suspended for 4 games. We have seen this time and again as Buffalo Bills fans, as NFL fans, and as fantasy football fans. The man's going to come back from this suspension exceptionally mad for having to miss for something that happened to him, for something that happened 2 years ago. And he's got to sit 4 games this year for it. I'm going to suspect, you think last year was bad when he decided to go on the all middle finger tour around the NFL, where in the first 8 games he looked like he was going to shatter some records again? This is going to be much worse. He's going to come back from this suspension, and there's just going to be blood. You better hope, NFL-wise, that the Patriots are 0-4 when he comes back.
Because all right, Derek. You're getting me worried here. I don't want to talk about Tom Brady anymore.
I will say this one last parting thought on this is, again, if you see Brady falling past round 4 or round 5, take him. Take the first 4 losses if you have to. It's going to be worth it.
I agree. Because you're going to have 2 quarterbacks in your roster anyways. Use that second guy you take. Maybe you take one a little bit higher than you would in that second guy.
Or you take one of our sleepers.
You take one of our sleepers, exactly. And let's move on to another group of boom or bust, and then we'll give one sleeper at the end of this for each of us. So for me, another boom guy that I could really, really like this year, and maybe you don't like him as much, and maybe you don't think what he did last year is warrants a higher ranking this year, but Kirk Cousins is someone that I'm looking to take the next step as an NFL quarterback this year.
You like that?
I like that. I do like that. And what I like about Kirk Cousins is what they have around him. Jordan Reed has established himself as a top tight end target who can play wide receiver. He can move from the right side. He can move from the outside to the slot to the inside. He's so versatile, so quick. And he's sure-handed. So that is someone, if only, to take Kirk Cousins for, you could. Then they go ahead and they add, who's the tight end there? Vernon Davis. Now, say what you will about Vernon Davis. I know he's old. he's going to be expected to be their number two tight end. And you put Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed on the field at the same time, if Vernon Davis has anything left, that's a scary, nice 1-2 tight end combo. And then you've got Pierre Garçon, who's potentially one of the fastest receivers in the league. On the other side, oh, hey, DeSean Jackson, also one of the fastest receivers in the league.
And now you forget one last thing. They drafted Josh Doctson, who I think was the second best wide receiver in the draft of this past 2016
behind
draft
Corey
class.
Coleman.
Behind Laquon Treadwell for me.
Ooh, okay.
And I think it was Treadwell, then Doctson. And Doctson is a guy, I watched a couple of TCU games last year. He is one of those all-purpose receivers.
Absolutely.
Unlike Jackson and Garçon, he can go up and get it.
Yeah.
He's got a nice vertical to him that gives him a little bit more on the contested catches.
They've got weapons, Derek.
Something that they didn't have other than exclusively Reed for that role last year.
Right, yeah, and I like that point too. And I just think what they've done around him is impressive. Obviously getting Josh Norman, we'll see how that works out for them. They have a very interesting team that I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. As we mentioned when we were talking about Tony Romo, in a pretty weak NFC East division. So Kirk Cousins, one of my potential boom candidates here moving into the season. Derek, what do we got for you, my friend?
My boom is going to be a little bit on the surprising side based on what has happened.
I think I know who
team.
It is, but let's hear it.
No, I'm going to throw something completely different.
No, I think
you.
I know.
The Jinja Ninja, Andy Dalton.
Okay, I did not see that coming.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
And here is
I thought
why.
You were going to say Derek Carr.
No, Derek Carr is on the more popular side of things, and I'm going to try to get a little.
You're
going to
go off the
bit,
beaten path.
I'm going to go a little off the beaten path, and here's why. Last year, we saw the literal definition of average at quarterback take a huge step into the top 10 and QB1 realm last year. And it was based on gameplay. It was based on the fact that you looked at him and he was more confident. He also has these things called Tyler Eifert and AJ Green. It doesn't matter what kind of day he's having. If he's got those two big, athletic, go up and get it, and also fast targets, it doesn't matter who's playing wide receiver two for this team. Gio Bernard is an absolute monster with the screen game. You can't really lose right now with the Bengals offense, which is playing at a much better rate because Dalton himself took the step up. He played a lot better last year, and this looks indicative of a guy who really seems to have gotten it. He is finally no longer the definition of average. If you're better than Andy Dalton, you're good. If you're worse than Andy Dalton, you're in trouble. And if you have Andy Dalton, well, you guys are all right. Dalton looks like he has ascended away from that role, away from that moniker, and is a guy that you just look at how he played last year. And the improvement in his mechanics, the improvement in his game. And then you also look at how Cincy crumbled when he got hurt down the stretch.
Yeah. No, I here's my thing that
Dalton's
would say.
Dalton's a guy I think that projects QB1 territory.
I would agree he's probably QB1 territory, but here's my only thing against Dalton, and it's not even really based on anything he can control. It's the injuries and the losses around him on the offensive side of the ball. Tyler Eifert, we don't know when he'll be ready. Injured himself in the Pro Bowl last year. Right now is currently on the PUP list, so we'll see what happens with him moving into the season. But he is one of the key guys for that offense.
Yes.
Is going to really play a big role in Andy Dalton's success. But the losses of Marvin Lewis. Marvin Jones, the wide receiver, and also Muhammad Sanu, who went to the Atlanta Falcons. So you have two guys who aren't AJ Green, obviously, but they lose two of their pretty good role receivers, and that it doesn't necessarily make me super nervous, but when you add an injury to Eifert and you take away some of his higher targets, then you start to worry, where is he going to go with the ball? Now, I know, who did they draft? They drafted a receiver.
I'm not sure right off the top of my head, but here's my umbrage with this. Jones is going to hurt a little bit.
I definitely agree with that.
From the slot. But you can sign a slot receiver, find out whoever the Patriots end up cutting at the end of training camp.
Because they're going to have to cut somebody.
They're going to have to cut somebody on their slot receivers. So find out who that is.
Slot receivers.
Find out who that is. Snag one of them. The other thing is that Muhammad Sanu, I think, was vastly overrated. Particularly with the contract that the Falcons gave him in Atlanta. So I'm not worried about that. I saw a guy that, again, when you watch the games, you saw Dalton, not just the team. The team elevated last year and played better last year on offense because of Dalton,
yeah.
Not because of the team. Dalton played better. Dalton improved his mechanics, and he made the next step up. So I'm not worried about the team. I'm not worried about anything like that. I think Dalton's going to have more of those games where he just takes over because he's showing that that's the trend he's going towards.
So our second round of boom quarterbacks, for me, Kirk Cousins, and for Derek, Andy Dalton. So now I kind of want to move into our next round of bust potential guys. And there's a large pool here, and I'm going to leave the guy that I think you're going to pick alone because I'll let you pick him and explain
why. How
about
you just let me go first?
All right, perfect.
It's Andrew Luck.
I know.
It's Andrew Luck. And for me, it's a lot of the things that I saw. A lot of the concerns that I'm shrugging off with Dalton are here with Luck because those concerns are more magnified. This is a team that, yes, they have weapons on the outside, but unlike Cincinnati, they don't have an offensive line, which scares the living bejesus out of me. You saw Buffalo last year with a defense that was not good. It was okay. You saw Buffalo take Luck and the Colts to school, and you saw it throughout the few games that he played before he got hurt. Luck was not the same player because the team around him is a mess. Some umbrage with this is that Luck may continue to be quarterback one because the defense is terrible and he will have to pass a lot to keep himself in games.
But if you remember last year when he was healthy, when they were passing a lot, he was throwing and turning the ball over at the highest rate of his career. And not only that, but the highest rate in the league. You know, yeah. He was averaging almost three turnovers a game while he was healthy last year. And then all of a sudden, you saw what the insertion of Matt Hasselbeck did to that team. They started winning football games because he wasn't turning the ball over. So it didn't become, this team is great because of Andrew Luck. This team is being hamstringed because Andrew Luck is turning the ball over at an incredible rate.
It suddenly became, this team is surviving because Matt Hasselbeck is shrugging off every injury that's happening to him. Because Luck wasn't the only one getting hurt last year. How many times did we see Hasselbeck get rocked and think, there's no way he's getting up from this?
But that's Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck is also one of the toughest people that has played in the NFL. Again, you saw it not just with Luck. This team, and I don't know how general manager Ryan Grigson still has a job with the Indianapolis Colts as the general manager. Chuck Pagano may be a decent coach or an all-right coach. Grigson is a terrible general manager. And his first-round pick, Ryan Kelly, is not playing. He is injured right now. He has not seen a snap of
training
camp.
That won't be good for them if they don't have their
number one pick. And if you're trying to fix your offensive line, first off, one player in the first round is not going to do it.
Not only that, but at the center
position. And worse than that, he's not seen a down of NFL football yet, which is scary. So the problems magnify here with Andrew Luck, and I think it's more than enough to overcome his potential once again.
Yeah, and again, I kind of knew that's where you were headed with that. And one guy I'm going to really take a tough look at this year, and is not that I think he had a great year last year, but he's been a guy who can throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns because he's done it over the course of his career, and that's Matt Stafford, a guy that I think losing one of the best receivers in the game is going to hurt. Losing Calvin Johnson, it would hurt any quarterback. It doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady or Ken Stabler or Brett Favre.
If we were playing a game of touch football,
right.
If I lost Calvin Johnson.
Correct. And now, so you lose him, and you bring in Anquan Boldin, I guess, Marvin Jones, as we spoke about a little while ago in Cincinnati, losing him. And obviously a guy who's, you know, been a pretty good fantasy player in Golden Tate. They lose Eric Ebron yesterday to what they believe is a potential Achilles tear, which would be bad for them. They still have Brendan Pettigrew,
who's decent,
but they were expecting a big jump, year three jump from Ebron this year, a nice big athletic tight end. So him losing him isn't going to help the situation, and they just don't, to me, have a viable running game to offset. They're a passing team through and through.
Yep.
And when he has to pass the ball 40 times a game, yeah, he's going to put up numbers. But is he going to be turning the ball over a lot? And just how much – I don't know how long, their head coach Caldwell, Jim Caldwell, is going to be there. That team, they're the Lions. They're so Lionsy. It's crazy.
The only thing I'm going to argue here with Stafford, because everything you've said is absolutely right, I don't even have Stafford in my top 22.
Wow.
So okay. I don't really know if this is more of a bust thing than a, hey, everyone's going to see this coming sort of issue.
I mean, I've seen him as high as like
number 11, number 12 in pretty big time breakdowns, pretty big time rankings.
Well, whoever those guys are, I want to know what they're having so that I can report it to the cops because that sounds troubling. If you're looking at Matthew Stafford as a serious guy, even as a quarterback too, there are tons of other options.
Matthew Berry of ESPN.com has...
Really?
Yes, Matthew Berry has Matthew Stafford at 13th, right in front of Tyrod Taylor.
I'm going to take a lot of umbrage with that, but we're not going to go into that for the sake of time here. I think that's a little on the asinine side of things. But other than that, let's move on.
Let's go on to the sleepers here. Now, each of us are going to choose a sleeper for you to keep an eye on. Maybe a guy that you can really take in the later rounds, someone that's going to be available for you. Derek, I'll let you go first. Who is your sleeper pick here this year?
I've got two for you, actually.
Ooh, okay.
Because I've come prepared today. Okay. I'm ready to go. Number one, and this one's going to sound a little on the crazy side here, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Jay Cutler is a guy that... gets a knock for his character, you know, how he portrays himself in the NFL. Not one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but at the same time...
He's paid like one of the best, though.
Matchup dependent, really does do well for himself.
And this goes back to splits.
And you saw how he performed when John Fox brought his crew over last year. So he's getting into more decent hands. Also, you get Kevin White back from injury that lost all of last year. Alshon Jeffrey remains one of the best wide receivers in the game.
And then throw in Kevin White.
Yeah, like I said, White comes back after not playing at all. So this is one of those teams that, you know, Cutler is a QB2. I will not stress that enough. You start Cutler on a regular basis, you're asking for trouble. Because Cutler is that guy that can get you 25
or he can get you two.
There's literally no alternative with him.
Yeah.
We're talking boom or bust. He literally is
the definition of either.
Boom or bust on a given week. Find the right matchups with Jay Cutler, though, and you will be rewarded as a very solid QB2 to a guy, you know, if you're taking a low-end QB1 like a Phillip Rivers or Derek Carr, you know, guys that have not necessarily proven situations or enough questions that you can't really trust them on the week-to-week basis. Or you get a guy who's possibly a little more on the injury-prone side of things, like a Carson Palmer or a Tony Romo. You pair him up with a guy like Cutler, you're not going to really go far off the beaten path. The second one, though, is going to be a much more interesting look. I'm looking at a Blake Bortles effect here. For those that don't know, or they're just starting this year, Blake Bortles is a guy who... used a terrible defense and talented wide receiver core around him to really become a fantasy football superstar last year.
That defense got a lot better this year.
Their defense got a lot better, but I'll tell you ones that didn't. Tennessee.
Everyone in the division?
Tennessee. And this leads me to Marcus Mariota. Mariota is a guy who adds that rushing element.
Yep.
So that's extra points for you because he is very fast, very sneaky, athletic. But also, you look at his wide receiver core, and you really can't go wrong with the group there. Delanie Walker rose to the occasion now after signing with Tennessee as a viable tight end one. And not to mention, you've got Kendall Wright. You've got Justin Hunter. You've got Dorial Green-Beckham. Andre Johnson just signed with this team. He might not even make the roster based on the receiving core that the Titans have. So you've got a talented receiving core, a security blanket like no other, a running game that's suspect at best, and a defense that, you know, isn't going to really help you out. I see a very good expectation that Mariota is going to unexpectedly burst onto the scene late in the year and be that guy who out of nowhere just starts getting you 20 points a game on a consistent basis. So Marcus Mariota out of Tennessee.
I've got two interesting ones too, I think, for you here, and where I'm going to start with, and you know, you can say what you will about this guy. I threw in
Jay Cutler. I'm not.
That's true. He's had the guy that I'm going to use here for my first sleeper is a guy who has easily the best receiver in the game, and he's had a head scratching career decline since having the really good beginning to his career.
Here we go.
And in his mid to late 20s, is really having a difficult time finding his way again, and his name is Matt Ryan. But this guy, as we mentioned before, Mohamed Sanu comes on there. They don't have a tight end, and I think that's really where you see his struggles coming, is he doesn't have Tony Gonzalez anymore. And I think having that safety blanket has really hurt him. But he's throwing the ball to Julio Jones at an incredible rate. And I think with him, the big thing for Matt Ryan is not throwing those timely turnovers and not throwing
red
those
interceptions
and those red zone interceptions. And for whatever reason, I'm expecting Matt Ryan to take a step forward next year in this upcoming season after last year taking a step back. But in those first eight games, if you remember, was a very viable fantasy quarterback for the first eight games
Falcons
last year.
Falcons were 8-0, chasing, no. Going shot for shot with the
Devonta
Panthers.
Freeman was just killing it. Obviously, at that point, Julio Jones had almost 100 receptions through eight games, basically. You know, the guy yeah. was killing it. And then he didn't necessarily get hurt, but you could tell something wasn't right with Julio after week eight.
Yeah, and there was some sort of regression on the offense.
So Matt Ryan is a guy that I would look at who's had a good career, who has had a couple of down years in a row that I'm expecting to have a bounce back year. And then my second guy here, this was a tough one for me. Because I looked to the AFC East. So obviously I'm not talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tom Brady. Where I'm looking at is Ryan Tannehill or Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
And what ultimately I decided is who's going to take the next step this year. And I think it's a guy that's going into his second year under the same system, opposed to a guy who's going into another system, as I think maybe the third system in his fourth season as a starting quarterback in Miami, and Ryan Tannehill. I just don't see him with the boom potential of Tyrod Taylor this year.
Correct.
Under Greg Roman's system, that's going to be opened up a little bit more with that middle of the field. I think he's going to target Charles Clay a lot more. And ultimately, I think that bond between him and Sammy Watkins is really going to help. But I think the X factor is Robert Woods. Being at the scrimmage yesterday, I saw a incredible route runner and a guy that can go and get it at the peak, you know, at the highest point. And I think last year the biggest issue with Robert Woods was his injuries. I think that he was playing through some hip issues. And if you're a wide receiver, it's all about the hips.
All
it's all about the hips, baby. And
it's all in the hips.
And Robert Woods, to me, could be the X factor for this team. But I think what we talked about is that athletic guy that can give you – you know, Tyrod had over 400 yards yesterday or last year. And to be honest, I just think of a guy that could really be a top five fantasy quarterback if he puts it all together this
really?
Year.
Okay.
If he puts it all together, he has the tools to bring a huge point put out this year. And I just see him as a very, very good boom potential guy this year. So Tyrod Taylor and Matt Ryan, my two sleepers moving into this season.
All right. Well, I'm going to give a couple more likes. I'm going to give some likes and dislikes on how to end the show here. My likes, guys that I think that you should target: Derek Carr, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger as possibly the best quarterback in the draft. My dislikes that I haven't mentioned throughout the rest of the show: Blake Bortles, I think there's fantasy-wise a step back, but overall he plays better as a quarterback. And the other thumbs down I think I'm going to give here is probably going to be towards the likes of, I'm going to say, Cam Newton. I don't think he's going to be the best one in the league this year, but he's definitely going to be still on the top five stats.
I think if we're going to talk about top fives, we have to talk about the best quarterback in the league, and that's Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
You know, ultimately, he's not going to give you as much of that running potential, although he is the kind of guy that will score a couple touchdowns a year. But I think Aaron Rodgers is definitely ahead above heels, one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Any other likes, dislikes, guys that we haven't mentioned that you should bring to the attention of the masses?
I would say not much else. The quarterback rankings are fluid. They will move on a week-to-week basis. And as we get into the season, we will definitely bring those to you. But I would expect big things next week from us. We will be coming back with the running back rankings. So stay tuned for that. We will also be coming out, as we mentioned, stay tuned for the quarterback rankings we will be coming out with on WGR550.com. And I will be tweeting them out from my Twitter, @NateGeary WGR, and my friend Derek Kramer over here, @DerekKramer WGR.
This has been the Waiver Wire. Thanks for listening. Next time, we got running backs.
RBs, baby.
Hey guys, it's Derek Kramer here from the Waiver Wire. Thanks for listening. And if you've missed any of our previous shows, you can catch them on demand, as well as anything from WGR Sports Radio 550 on demand, at WGR550.com. Give us some love on Twitter. I am at Derek Kramer WGR, and Nate is at Nate Geary WGR on Twitter. Send us a message. We'll be glad to help you out. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.